Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the final hour here of Power Hour. It's Bob Walk, brought to you by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Shape your future with Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. And by Gutter Helmet. Safeguard your gutters with Gutter Helmet by Lednar Home Solutions. 888-5-HELMET. Bob Walk is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob, thanks for joining us today. I went back and looked, and you missed Willie Mays by about 7 years, which isn't that long of a time. You also grew up out in California. I'm just wondering if you ever met Willie Mays, if you remember watching him, thoughts on the passing of the great Willie Mays.
Well, he obviously was maybe the best player ever. I mean, you can make that argument, but certainly, you know, one of the top three or four to ever go on a baseball field, and being a young man growing out on the West Coast, you got to see an awful lot of Willie Mays. You know, I grew up in Southern California, so there was you had that huge, rivalry between those two teams, the Giants and the Dodgers. They brought it with them, when they both left New York. And so there was, plenty of times that there wasn't a lot of baseball on TV back in those days. But when there was baseball on, a lot of times it was the Dodgers and the Giants. That was a big draw. And so I did get to see him play an awful lot. And, when you're, growing up and you're, 9, 10 years old, and then, even in your early teenage years, you always look at the and you're a big baseball fan, and that's what you do as a kid. You play baseball all the time, and so you're looking at those major leaguers, and if somebody would have asked me back then, who's the best player in all of baseball, I wouldn't have hesitated to say Willie Mays, even though I was just a little kid. I mean, that's what he was, and that's what everybody thought about him. He was the absolute best, and I would have liked to have played against him or sit in an opposing dugout even and just watch him play, but we did have our different ages, that's for sure, so I didn't really get to see him in that way.
That's the thing. He was done playing before you got to play, so you never had to face him. But what, that does bring the question, in your time playing, who was the best player you faced?
Oh,
you obviously played with Barry Bonds.
The only time, that's kind of a hard to say that there was a guy that I saw a few times in he was an American leaguer and he didn't play a really long time, but, I saw him play in spring training a lot, and that was Bo Jackson. I thought Bo Jackson was just incredible, the things that he could do. It's too bad he got hurt really early on, because the skills that he possessed were just incredible. The monster power, the unbelievable arm, and his speed was unmatched by anybody that I've seen. And but there were others that were, I think you could talk, about that. I mean, one of my early teammates was Mike Schmidt, and at that time he was, a pretty awesome player. He would, could carry you, won tons of gold gloves, and with the league, lead the league in home runs several times. I mean, he was a great player, no doubt about it. He carried us all the way to he and Steve Carlton carried us to championship in 80. The best player that I ever played with and saw, though, on a daily basis, You have to excuse me. I have a little bit of a head cold going on right now. Hopefully I'll be better tonight. But the Barry Bonds, I guess, would have to be the best that I saw on a long-term basis, a year after year after year, because he had, you know, tremendous skills in all areas. And the only thing he lacked as far as tools is, was, and I'm sure everybody will agree with this, his throwing arm could have been a little bit better, but everything else he had was top notch. And I mean, you just look at the stat sheet. You know, he was the best. So, and I got to watch every one of his Pirate years. I was sitting in that dugout with him. So, I think I know what I'm talking about when I say that he was the best that I saw.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. City Limits was very excited about the text today. It said the texters have gone wild, was his quote. So we'll be looking forward to that. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Well, that brings up a question, Bob. I'm sure you've addressed this before, but I'm just curious. What was Barry Bonds like on a personal level, on a day-to-day basis, to be around? Because, you know, the reviews from a lot of people aren't great.
Well, in the clubhouse, I don't think he was any problem whatsoever. I mean, at least in his Pirate years. Of course, he was a lot younger then. And, I mean, he was a very confident young man. I mean, he knew what he wanted to accomplish, and he went out and was accomplishing it year after year. Never wanted out of the lineup. He was always you know, ready to play, even if he was hurt a little bit. It didn't matter to him. And I actually asked him that question probably maybe in his fourth season or so. And ironically, his answer to me was, can't make the Hall of Fame unless you go out to the field every single day.
Wow.
And so, I mean, that was – I remember we were in the back of the airplane flying somewhere when I asked him that. I go – because I'd been told by Leland that he was impossible to get out of the lineup, you know, try and give him a day off. And so I asked him about that. That was his answer to me. But, you know, he could be moody, just like everybody else. But I would say, you know, most of the time in that clubhouse, you know, he was, you know, pretty friendly to everybody. I think that there were some media types that he liked a lot and some that he didn't like a lot. And as the years went by, I think he started, especially when he was in Frisco and you know, things are coming out about all the drugs and that sort of thing. And I think he got to where everybody was out to get him, and then he kind of clammed up. But, you know, everybody that has met him has a different opinion, but you just have to go on, you know, how he treated me, and that was always fantastic. I never had any really, you know, problems with him. There were a couple of times, I think, where we kind of shouted at each other about something in some meetings, but that stuff goes on a lot, at least it used to. And so that, you know, that just a day later, that just goes off your back.
Yeah. For the modern day team, tonight is going to be apparently another bullpen game, Bob, and that probably speaks to two things. One, that Martin Perez is probably not quite ready, but also that it's worked out pretty well the last three times, right? So why not go back to it?
Yeah, you can't argue with that. Their bullpen games have been a little successful. There was at least once, though, I think the bullpen game put us in really bad shape the next day, which, you know, people don't realize that also is part of it because you're using your bullpen up. Yeah, I was a little surprised because, you know, during the last homestand, not this one, but the last homestand, I heard that Martin Perez himself thought he was ready to pitch and wanted to get back in there as soon as possible. And so I really thought that he was going to pitch one of those bullpen games in Colorado. I was personally surprised that he didn't after hearing what I had heard. And so now, of course, I'm surprised that he's still not ready. I know he threw three innings, like a bullpen game, or not a bullpen game, a simulated game early in, I think maybe even the first or second day that we were, team was back from the road. Sat up in the radio booth, the TV booth, and watched it, and he looked fine. And then they hit him a bunch of ground balls, made him go through a bunch of PFP drills to throw to all the bases and all that kind of stuff. And he looked fine. So, you know, I don't know. I don't have inside information. I did have inside information that was wrong. So I'm kind of a little reluctant now to say, you know, when Perez will be ready. I just don't know. But until then, they are having success with these bullpen games. You know, today, you know, I think Mazinski's going to go out there and then start the thing. But, you know, we'll see what they decide to do. You know, in the second, third inning, it's going to be extremely hot. So, you know, maybe that this is, you know, good to have guys out there for only, you know, two or three innings at a stretch. And because this would be a tough day to go out and throw, you know, six, seven, eight innings.
Social media's biggest loser, Donnie Football, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. You should see Donnie. It's worked for him. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Bob Walk on the line. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob, Mitch Keller, he was an all-star last year, but he appears to have taken a significant step here. I mean, he's on pace to finish a run better than last year's earned run average. What do you see here as a former pitcher in the evolution of Mitch Keller?
You know, I think he's pitching really about like he did last year at this time. You know, the reason he's a run better is because he kind of finished a little rough, and the ERA kind of went up there at the very end of the season last year. But it's kind of the same last year. It's a mixture of a lot of things. You know, confidence, being able to trust his own abilities to read the hitters and, you know what kind of pitches he needs to go to. He's got, you know, a laundry list out there with him. I think he throws about six different things. So he's got a lot of choices, a lot of different ways he can go about it, and he's got good command. And I think that's the main thing. I mean, you can't use all those tools if you don't know where they're going, if you can't throw the ball where you want. And just like everybody else, there's certain days when he's better with that command and certain days when he's not. And that affects, you know, the bottom line. Now, last time out, I mean, he's pretty much throwing the ball exactly where he wanted to almost every time. And you saw the results. He put up a whole bunch of zeros. I was rooting for him to get a win because I mean, that would have been number nine if he could have got it. And, you know, nine wins in the middle of June, you know, we could actually start talking about a 20-win season, which is a little rare nowadays. That would be a lot of fun. But he can't afford to go that many innings and put up nothing but zeros and not get the win. He can't have that happen many times, or you can kiss a big total at the end of the year away.
Well, I have a theory about that. Is it, you know, sometimes you see some of these top pitchers where they don't get a lot of run support. Is it because generally their time in the rotation, they seem to come up against the other team's top pitchers? Is that part of it, or is that just me? Because I mean, the kid from the Reds was pretty good the other day.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, especially early in the year. But by now, it's always, you know, things have always all changed around. There's been a lot of days off, people getting hurt and stuff. So, you know, early in the year, if you're, like, say, the number one guy, then maybe for the next few weeks you're going to be facing their number one guy, their opening day guy. And that does happen a little bit. But it starts getting, you know, out of skewed really just after two or three weeks. And then, you know, it's just a grab bag after that. You get who you get. And sometimes you know, you're getting an ace, and sometimes you're not. You know, that goes into another column of things. You don't worry about things you can't control, because it's not. Just like, you know, when you're talking about the offense. And, you know, that's kind of the main thing right now, I believe, is it continues to be the story for me, is we're just not getting runs on the board like we need to take advantage of pitching like we're seeing out of Keller.
Bob, Jared Jones The walks going way up. I mean, he went a lot of games this season with zero walks, and now we see 3-2, 3-3, 4, and the strikeout rate going down a little bit. Feels like the league's punching back a little bit on Jared Jones. What do you see, and how much cause for concern moving forward?
Well, there's no way the league can make him walk people. I mean, that's him. So, yeah, if all of a sudden they're, you know, the league's batting averages jump way up, well, then they're doing something different to do that. But I think the main thing with him is when we first saw him, he got on a roll confidence-wise, and, I mean, he was just going right at people right down the middle. And even a couple of times where they came out and would hit him hard in that first inning, they were, you know, sitting on the fastball just going to say, okay, go ahead, throw the ball 9,900 mile an hour. We're going to be looking for it, and if you put it down the middle, we're going to hit it hard somewhere. And when he saw that, he was able to change and start throwing other pitches for strikes. And I think what has happened is that the control, his command was probably a little bit better than it should have been, because he just hasn't shown that type of command anywhere in his, you know, minor league career. So I think it was one of those hot streaks where he was throwing everything where he wanted to, combined with his great arm. And then there's a, you know, a situation too. And I hesitate to say this about him because he looks like he's just such a competitor fighter out there and so full of confidence. But from my own experience as a younger pitcher, if you get hit around a little bit once, then you start trying to, like, I got to make better pitches. I got to hit the edge. You try to be better than you are. And now it just snowballs on you. Now it's like, it seems like every time you look in, it's a 3-1 count or a 2-0 count because you were trying to be real good because you've been hit, fairly hard, say, the inning or two innings before that. And now when it's 3-1 and 2-0, and you got to come in a better strike because you want to stay away from the walks, that now they're getting better pitches to hit. And now there's even more balls hit hard. Or you stay out there, you try to make the perfect pitch, and now it's ball 4. And I think he kind of fell into that habit a little bit in his last couple of starts where he's trying to be a little too fine. And I would like him to go out there and be confident because he's got a great arm. He's going to be a great pitcher. He is a great pitcher. Just go after the hitters, and we'll see what's what the cards say when you lay them on the table. I like that's the kind of the way he was first part of this season, and I want to see that again. I don't want him to ever lose any kind of confidence and try to be nitpicking up there and falling behind in counts and walking guys because you're just doing those hitters a favor. I mean, you got great stuff. Go at those guys. And I think maybe he's gotten away from that a little bit. As long as everything's, there's nothing hurting him a little bit, like, maybe his shoulder a little sore, stuff like that. There's a lot of things about a pitcher that you don't always know about that can lead to, oh, man, he's not throwing strikes like he was before. Well, it's because when you got a little something that's bothering you, that might mess up your mechanics a little. When you're letting go of that ball and you're feeling a little tightness, every time, barring anything like that, I think he's just trying to be a little too careful out there in these last couple of starts.
All right, Bob, let's finish with the important stuff. Greatest baseball movie of all time. Paul is partial to The Natural, which was filmed in Buffalo, I might add, at Old War Memorial Stadium. Myself and City Limits like Field of Dreams, although intern Trent, who basically hasn't said a word since he joined the show, suddenly piped up to say that the wife on Field of Dreams really bugs him. And Paul doesn't like her either, Kevin Costner's wife. So feelings on that and also your favorite baseball movie?
I couldn't even tell you who the wife was. I don't even remember her. As far as my favorite one, I got to go with Paul. By far, I think The Natural was my favorite one. I've seen it several times, and I love the fact it was in that old ballpark. I have some good memories myself of playing in that ballpark. So that was kind of neat to see that and know exactly what everything was looked like behind the scenes.
So you played in the old rock pile.
What's that?
You played in the old rock pile, War Memorial.
Oh yeah, yep, yeah. In 1979, I was in the Eastern League, and the Pirates were in Buffalo, the Pirate Double A team, and I was playing for Reading, and I don't know, we went up there several times, and I pitched. In fact, my highest strikeout game ever, minor leagues, big leagues ever, came in that ballpark.
How many?
It's 13.
Wow.
For a long time, it's a long time ago. I mean, I'm 67 now, and I was 21 years old or something like that then. So it was a long time ago, and somewhere I had fudged it up to 15. Mm. And I would have bet anything on my life it was 15. And I used to say, it's 15. I have 15. It's the most ever. And then I had somebody go on the internet and look it up, and then they tweeted or something that I was not telling the truth, that it was only 13. So then I'm back down to 13. I lost a couple of those strikeouts.
Man, I'd take them. I had you pegged as an original Bad News Bears guy because it was set in California. I could picture you absolutely adoring Walter Matthau's character in that. I had you as a Bad News Bears guy.
I like that, but it's as a baseball movie. Nah, as far as like the kids one, what was the one with the big dog and the ball went in there?
Sandlot. City Limits likes the Sandlot.
Yeah, I would rather go with the Sandlot than the Bad News Bears. I like the Sandlot a lot. I love the way it ended.
How did it end again? I forgot. Not to be a spoiler.
The dog ended up being a sweetheart and everything was fine, and then the kid that was a real good baseball player went on to play for the Dodgers.
Remember, we love dogs on this show.
Totally forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. We're very pro-dog. Very pro-dog.
My dog ate a blueberry muffin and the wrapper today, so there's a little bit of an emergency at home, Bob. Any advice there?
No, just it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. What kind of wrapper was it?
Like the muffin, the thing that a muffin would be in.
Like, paper or even like a little plastic something.
Yeah,
they're not going to keep it forever. They're renting it. They'll be back out soon.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Take care.
All right, we'll see you, man.
See you, Bob. All right, Paul. He's with you on the natural. You feel good about that?
Yeah. I mean, there's a baseball guy, and it's funny too because he did say the Sandlot. It's hard for him. These kids' movies. It's hard for him to put all these kids' movies in the same categories as sports movies.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of fair, I guess. I don't know.
I wasn't a big Sandlot fan. I don't know. Why do people adore it? It's like the one Christmas movie everybody loves about the what's the one? The
Christmas Vacation?
No, Christmas Story.
Home Alone?
A Christmas Story.
The one where he'll shoot your eye out.
He'll shoot your eye. What? Why does everybody like that movie so much?
I think
much?
It's just okay.
I don't
it
like,
sucks.
I hate that movie. I'm not a big fan of that movie. The Sandlot to me is very overrated, but it's okay.
I agree with you. It's overrated, The Sandlot.
It's better. It's more watchable than Field of Dreams.
It's not on the same planet as Bad News Bears, the original
right,
Bad
the
News Bears.
The original Bad News Bears was tremendous.
Walter Matthau is one of the great characters in movie history in that thing.
Yes.
And then is it Tatum O'Neill, who's the girl pitcher he goes out and gets? His daughter, I guess, right, from the movie?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Limits? Well, you didn't watch it,
no,
did you?
No, I didn't see it.
That's your homework assignment this weekend is watch that.
The only thing I hate about Little Giants is you took all of the best athletes in town and put them on one team and all of the nerds who don't play anything on the other team.
Yeah.
Sorry, but no, the nerd group would not win. That game would have been 75-0.
Do you like Space Jam?
Yeah, that's a good movie.
I like it.
Wasn't there a second one with Shaq or something?
With LeBron.
Really?
Yeah, I never saw that one.
JJ Redick in it with him?
It might be his coach.
Yeah.
It just gets to be, for instance, there just gets to be a point where sequels to a lot of these movies aren't very good. Major League 2 wasn't great.
Yeah.
Major League 3 is just an abomination. What a horrible movie that is.
Why do they do that? Well,
because they make money. Because they know, it's just right. It's just like right now, Bad Boys 4 is out.
The answer to all your questions is money, right?
Bad Boys 4 is out.
What?
Bad Boys 4 is out right now. It's like,
what's your favorite Rocky?
Well, it's got to be the first one.
Yeah, that's the first one.
And I get a kick because, like I said, Creed 2, Creed 3, all they are is Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3. It's just a different character.
Coming up, I think, according to City Limits, this is going to be a rousing rendition of Tex in the City, yes?
It'll be good.
All right.
Good
I'm ready.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
There we go. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. We're losing it here in the studio at the end of the week. Tex in the City. It's time for that. First, a couple of quick notes here. I just see in the trip, Buca di Beppo Station Square restaurant closing. That building is very meaningful to me. That's where the Trib used to be, where I used to work, first of all, when I became a Penguins beat writer. That Buca di Beppo was the Trib offices. Secondly, the actual restaurant is very meaningful to my family and I. My wife and I had our rehearsal dinner at Buca di Beppo with all our relatives, you know, at least five or six of whom are no longer with us 13, 14 years later. I had a surprise 50th birthday party, Paul, for my wife at Buca di Beppo. Buca di Beppo, I drove all the way to Brockway and brought her dad in, and he surprised her. Her son, Michael, came in from D.C. It was an amazing event. Lots of things have happened there. I'm sad about that, Buca di Beppo. Aren't you?
Yeah. Is it the one in Station Square? How about the one in Robinson or both of them?
It's the one in Station Square.
Yeah.
No, I saw you once with your family at the one in Robinson.
At the one in Robinson, yes.
You remember that?
Yes. It was a good day.
The other thing is that we have these internal emails that go around that recap the show for everybody. In other words, on the morning show today, they talked about this, this, and this. So City Limits will put out an inner office email for everyone later. This is what Joe and Paul talked about today. Harry Callis does it for the morning show, and in one tiny little segment, he misspelled Charrington. Listen to this. Charrington, Parado, Gensel, and McCutcheon.
All on the notes, yes.
Within how many sentences? In the same sentence?
Not the same sentence, but within the same email.
That's borderline miraculous. Wow. All right, let's get to Tex in the City.
A lot of good ones today. Sorry, Paul, but poker is not a sport. It is a game. All sports are games, but not all games are sports.
They came after you, Paul, for your poker is a sport take. They all did. They came out of the woodwork.
It's okay. He's wrong, but it's okay. Everyone is entitled to that opinion. I think it is a sport. I think it absolutely is a sport. Hell, it's on ESPN. It has to be a sport.
So is Joey Chestnut. I give this guy a 9. I do.
I give him a 1.
I give it an 8. Christian from Manaka. Any chance we can get a live reaction audio of when Joe goes home and finds... Joe, we'll be done drinking here because you're going to laugh at this.
Yeah.
Any chance to get a live reaction audio of Joe when he goes home and finds Bailey's explosive diarrhea all over his house?
Man,
that's a PM team phrase.
I'm so used to that. Bailey does all kinds of, he puked last week on the new carpet in the living room. When you have a dog, that's life. It's like having a baby. You're going to get things happening. Fan weather. Although I give him a 10. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. High of 95 today. Paul, this is the... What happened? I did the 50-minute mark before we got to the 50-minute mark. That jarred me, City Limits, and it scared me when you yelled in my ear like that. It was scary. Paul, this is the last thing we're going to do together this week. It's the last text. Let's rate it 1 to 10.
There we go. Let's do it.
Go ahead.
This is a cool text, not like a hot take, but the Miracle League of South Hills in St. Clair, Sean Casey founded it. How about they're playing at the Field of Dreams in Iowa in July? It's the first Miracle League organization to play travel games for all special needs athletes. Pretty cool.
That is awesome. I give that a 10. And I've been out to the Miracle League in Upper St. Clair. It was the Pirates had a game that night. And yet, Clint Hurdle, I remember a bunch of the players, maybe Melanson, Grilly, people like that were out there. I know the work that Sean does with that. Amazing stuff. And to go to Iowa to the Field of Dreams. Wow. And that brings the show full circle because we started with sports movies today just to make people angry, didn't we?
Also, the Twitter poll, is poker a sport? 87% said no.
I'm sorry about 87%
that, 87%
are wrong. Paul, I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
87% are wrong.
Limits, I hope you all your dreams come true this weekend.
I appreciate it. Same with you.
Have a good wiffle ball game Sunday. See
Thank
ya.
You.